Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanis.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. My name is Dan Schaefer, and I am so excited to bring another episode of Fellowship Talks to you today. Thank you for joining us. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Amy Scrivanis.
Hey, everyone.
Amy, it's so good to be with you, and I'm excited about our podcast today. We're going to be talking about work and how we use that as we serve in the kingdom of God, and we have one of our fellowship members and actually elders with us today who's going to help us go down that direction with that conversation. But first, we want to let everyone know that this is your last chance to get your recording in, your Christmas memories into us. Because we want to hear your Christmas memories and make a podcast episode out of our church's Christmas memories collectively. So send us your recordings of your favorite Christmas memories. Put your name in there so we know who you are. And we're also looking for some jokes, right?
Yes.
Because you love those Christmas jokes.
Yes, I love the Christmas jokes.
She is gritting her teeth and giving me that Southern charm there.
You came up with some good ones last year.
That's right.
I think there's others out there that we haven't heard.
That's right.
That we need to hear.
And we want to depend on our church body to do that.
Yes.
So again, Fellowship, if you don't know how to send us a recording, here's some really easy steps. Find your voice memo app on your phone. Just the voice memo app. Turn on, push record, give us your name, your favorite Christmas memory, either when you were growing up as a kid or now with your family. Get your kids involved, sharing their favorite Christmas memories. And then when you're done recording, just push stop and push the share button on there and email it right to us here at Fellowship Talks. So our email address is fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. You can just send that recording right to us. We're going to compile all those recordings and make it into a Christmas episode, and that will come out right before Christmas so we can listen as a church body to all of us sharing our favorite Christmas memories.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I always love hearing what other families do and how they celebrate Christmas together and what some of their traditions are.
That's right. That's right. And I've learned, Amy, even as a young family, our traditions continue to change.
Oh, yeah.
We find new traditions.
I like to copy people.
Yeah, exactly. I love hearing what other people have. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a fun way to do that. So share with us your traditions, your memories, and we'll just share this with the whole church. So that goes with like us, give us a good rating on iTunes, let people know about this podcast, because this podcast is serving our church here, Fellowship Bible Church, but it's also reaching people outside of our church. And if you're outside of our church listening in on this, we want to say welcome, and we're glad that you're also here listening to us. So would you just go on iTunes, give us a good rating, and give us some comments and some feedback on your thoughts on the podcast. We appreciate that. So, Amy, you ready to jump into our conversation today?
I am. I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's one that really is applicable to just about everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we have John Blackman sitting with us today. John, thank you for being here with us today on Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. John, you, how long have you been around Fellowship?
I've been here since the first Sunday of 2013.
The first Sunday in January of 2013.
And I have not left.
And you haven't left. That's we haven't right. run you off yet.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Was there something significant about that first Sunday in 2013?
Well, you know, absolutely. There was just a very, very hard time in my life. Just going through major, major transforming episode in my life where I had gone through a divorce a couple of years before and just crushing, and I was very, very broken at that time. And a friend, he was actually in ministry school in Dallas, had just moved back to Little Rock, and said, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna go visit this Fellowship Bible Church over here." I said, "Yeah, I remember that church." I said, and he said, "Man, you gonna come over here and visit with me?" I said, "Yeah, I tried, but I didn't." So a couple of Sundays later, which was the first Sunday of the year, he said, "Man, it is really great teaching over here. I mean, the theology is so sound. Just come try it." And I said, "You know what? All right, I'll give it a shot." This is like one of my best friends. Great, great guy. So came over here and I came by myself. I didn't want to bring the kids because I was thinking, man, if it doesn't work out, I don't want, you know, if they go over here and hear something crazy, then I'm going to have to go straighten this out at the house, right? So I said, let me just go check it out. And I did. And as a matter of fact, that morning, Ben Parkinson was preaching, and y'all, I have not left. It was, I just absolutely, the spirit just flowed and just touched my heart and my mind, and I just felt such peace. And I said, Lord, I guess this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I have not left.
Yeah. And we're glad that you haven't, too. Yeah. Since that day, just to fast forward really quick,
right.
You've been very involved in our church. You started on the Little Rock campus.
I did.
Now you're on your family's on the Benton campus.
Absolutely.
And during that time, you also became an elder here.
I have.
One of our leaders here at the church, and you helped lead the vision and direction of the whole church on all of our campuses.
They took a great chance, didn't they? I'm like, wow, are y'all sure about this? But yeah, I have, and it's just been, it's been great. But the thing that I get out of it most is just leading and fellowshipping with such wonderful, great men of God. I mean, I just wish people understood how much and how deeply sincere our elders are, and not just sincere, but spirit-led and prayer warriors. I wish people knew. And so I always try to make sure that people know how much our elders cry out to God for them, and how deeply concerned they are for the body of Christ here at Fellowship. It's unparalleled. I have never seen this kind of deep concern and prayer and love for a body like I've seen from the elders here at Fellowship.
That's a good word, John. Thank you for saying that and speaking that out to all of us.
And I'm the least of these. I'm not on a lot of these elders level. But gosh, just loving to be around them and just to, you know, glean from their wisdom is awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's really encouraging to hear. That something we don't talk a lot about is what the elders are doing when they meet together, and just to know that they are praying over the people in our body and our church, and the ministry that the elders have in our church is really significant. And
you would just be amazed at how much they're involved in everyone's lives. I mean, elders are doing stuff around here 24/7 almost for our body.
Yeah.
There's some elder somewhere right now meeting with someone, you know, concerning their lives or getting closer to God or just giving love and encouragement right now. And that's how it's wonderful. It's just a great atmosphere to be around.
Yeah, thank you for speaking that over us and just sharing that with us as a church. John, will you introduce your family to us? Tell us a little bit about your family now.
Absolutely. Me and my wife, Psycho, we have a blended family, and we were kind of like the minority Brady Bunch, is what I call it. she's Hispanic from Nicaragua, and she has three girls, and I'm, you know, of course, African American, and I am have three boys.
And so way.
Absolutely.
That's a big old family.
So
that's
awesome. We blended these families together.
And her name is?
Cycle.
Cycle.
Cycle, okay. Like the bicycle. Cycle. Her dad was worked in electronics and engineering.
Yeah.
And from Nicaragua, and named her Cycle. And I'm like, wow, that is so unique. But it fits her because she's always on a roll, y'all. She is always moving, and I'm just trying to keep up. So,
and how long have you guys been married?
We have been married since 2015, and actually, our elder then, Jim Hudson, married us.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, that's right. Great. Jim, we love Jim. He was on our staff here for a long time and is actually now back on the Benton campus as a member of our church. So, yeah, thanks for saying that. Just really cool to see how God's worked in your life with Cycle, and we'll continue to be praying for you guys.
Absolutely,
sure.
Please do. I mean, there's never a dull moment around our house. I promise you.
Well, John, we wanted to have you on to talk about work and talk about how we use our work even as worship before God. You are in a unique environment.
I am.
A unique workforce. You work for the State Patrol.
State Police, yeah.
The State Police.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that. How did you get started with the State Police? How long have you been with them?
Well, I actually started in law enforcement in 2001, and just by God's providence, my dad used to play basketball for ULR, and he was a police officer after he stopped playing basketball. And so when I was going through college, I just needed a full time job trying to support my family, and said, I'm gonna just try this. You know, it wasn't really serious, but it just so happened one of the guys that was working with my father was still there.
Okay.
And now he's in leadership. Mm. And he heard my name. And I said, is your name John Blackman? I said, yes, sir. And he said, I know another John Blackman. He used to work here. I said, yeah, that's my dad. He said, really? He said, man, he's a good man. I said, well, I think so. And he said, well, go out there and tell them to turn around. We're going to hire you. And I'm like, wow. And that was just off of, you know, just by God's grace and just my dad being a good man. Mm. And, very, very influenced by him. And so later on, a few years later, a guy that was actually doing executive protection or governor security for the then governor, Mike Huckabee, just coming on campus and said, hey, man, what are you doing here? I said, working. And he said, man, you ever thought about going to the state police? I said, I really hadn't. He said, man, you really need to consider that. And his name was Lieutenant Rick Neal. He still works there. And he was a corporal then. And he said, man, if you ever think about it, give me a call. I went home and prayed about it. And it was just like undeniable Lord telling me, hey, just go. And I did. And years later, here I am.
Yeah. So what do you do at the state police?
Well, I worked on Highway Patrol for about 9 years, almost 10. And then I got into criminal investigations. And so now that's where I am. I work for the Criminal Investigation Division.
That's right. And John, I think I've mentioned this to you before, but the first time you and I actually met was on Highway 300 in the middle of an accident that I was involved in. And you were the state patrolman with the Highway Patrol that was assigned to go out there and help me. So,
that's right.
The first time we got to meet was on your job.
That's right. And I hope I could leave a good impression.
Yeah, that's right. It did. It did. Tell us a little bit about how you see your work in law enforcement as worship before God.
Oh, man.
That's a big question.
It is. It's broad, but you know what? I have so many. God has just been tremendously good to me and blessing me with a career that is like directly linked to the Bible and being one of God's servants, one of his ministers of justice, and not bearing the sword in vain and those types of things from the Word of God. And so it's a little bit easier for me because I can see myself in the Word of God. I can see myself as that centurion that was, in awe of Jesus Christ and followed Christ. I can see myself helping the poor, and I have seen myself helping the poor and helping those that are in distress, but also being there for those that are not doing right. And I'm able to help those victims that they've hurt. And so with my job, I'm very blessed. A lot of people, I have to help them when I'm ministering to see where God is in their work because they feel like that he's not. And every job that I know, pretty much, you have to deal with people in some realm. Even in technology where you don't necessarily have to deal with people as much, but you still do. And you're still providing a service to people. So in that, you can always see Christ in working and helping other people. With me, it's a little bit easier because that is my job. My job is surrounded by and involves so much helping people. Sometimes they want to be helped, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
What I really hear in that too is just that picture of God's justice and mercy.
Absolutely.
And how that even plays out in your work as you represent him and love others and also represent the justice side.
Absolutely.
So I know you see a lot in a day.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. So how do you handle that with your family? How do you handle kind of all that you take in a day and staying healthy to where you can engage well with your family and those kind of things?
That is a very good question and something that I've recently spoken with Psycho, my wife, about. And I don't know how you could do this job without Christ. It would be, I can see how you can do it, but I don't see how you could last very long on it or not negatively affect you.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that.
Why do you say that?
Because you do see so much. You have to think, we see the worst of people. The very worst. I mean, we see child rapists. We see parents actually pimping out their children. And we work those cases. We see, I mean, just horrendous murders for no reason over the smallest things. And you're just like, what? Why? And so this job will definitely cause you to seek answers.
And those are the kinds of things that you're walking into every day.
Yeah, we see the total depravity of man. We do.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. We all know those things are out there, but you're seeing it up close and personal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it can be very tough, but with Christ and with His Word, I have answers. And I understand the brokenness of man, and I understand the fall of man and where it came from. And I understand the solution to that fallenness, which is Christ. And that is what gives me peace. And knowing that I have hope in Christ, that it won't always be this way, that we have a future hope.
Yeah.
But I do think about those that don't see a future hope. And I can see why. This job would definitely.
So do you find that you have a lot of opportunity to share Christ with your coworkers? Because you're all kind of in this together.
We are wrestling
with these hard things together.
We are. I think it's just like any other work environment. You're going to have those that are receptive and then those that are not so receptive. But the one thing I can do is or I always try to do is to make sure that I'm receptive when they come to me, that I'm listening, that I'm hearing what they're asking, and that I'm hearing where hurt is. And I listen for that. I listen for hurt. And sometimes I might not always get a chance to get a word in there, but I always have a chance to pray. Always. Yeah. There is nothing stopping me from praying for them. And so I do. And then a lot of times the Lord opens up doors where I can minister to them and minister to that need and that hurt.
Yeah. I'm a graduate student in counseling. And so I see clients from time to time. And I hear a lot of terrible things that people are walking through in life and the complete depravity of their lives. And sometimes when they walk out the door at the end of the session, I'll just sit at my desk and I'll just start crying for where they are, for the burden of what they're carrying.
Absolutely.
And I imagine that's similar to what you're doing. And I imagine there's days where you're carrying something home that is just feels completely heavy. After you've seen the worst of what people have to offer, how do you walk back into your family and kind of turn the switch and become a family man at the end of your work shift?
You know what? There have been times that that's been very difficult. But having a very understanding and loving wife and loving family, that helps out tremendously. And then when you do go home and you do see them, it makes you so much more appreciative of where you are and how God has blessed you. So that's helped out a lot, just putting things in perspective that, hey, how blessed I am, but yet not taking away the need or my ability to pray for them. So I'm telling you, the main tool that I use for this is prayer. Y'all, there is no... there's no magic pill. There's no magic, or solution to anything that I do to deal with it. I just pray. I pray, and y'all, the Psalms have been my best friend. Just praying and going through the Psalms,
Yeah. Do you have a rhythm to that at all that you practice?
Oh my goodness, yes. You know, when it's very heavy,
mm-hmm.
and you just have to stop. I mean, even sometimes in my office, sometimes, you know, just after you leave in the scene, and you have to, you know, sometimes I have a very long drive home because, mm-hmm. you know,
you're all over the state.
With the state, mm-hmm. I'm a long ways from home sometimes. Mm-hmm. So have a long time with God
mm-hmm.
to pray through it. And sometimes, you know, even after the prayer, I'm mm-hmm. still not feeling that peace,
mm-hmm.
but I still know that he's there. And I'll just put on the Psalms, you know, on my Bible app and
mm-hmm.
just play the Psalms until, you know, the Lord kind of lifts that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is sometimes very difficult for what you see.
Mm-hmm.
But the older I get, the more, you know, I'm grateful, the more I depend on him.
Mm-hmm. What would you recommend to other law enforcement officials? We have plenty of police throughout Fellowship on all of our campuses in various departments of law enforcement, military.
Right.
How would you encourage them to handle those burdens that they have, that they carry?
You know what? It's outside of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in reading your word, getting with another believer who is a police officer as well, mm-hmm. because they understand those struggles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Yeah, they understand those struggles. They understand what you're going through. And sometimes it's very hard to explain to people that are outside of law enforcement, even though they'll understand,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they don't understand the depth
mm-hmm.
of it. And because, you know, we have different struggles with not only outside, but sometimes internally,
mm-hmm.
you know, with, you know, just our culture,
mm-hmm.
just dealing with culture and the way our culture is going and the hostility toward law enforcement. Sometimes, I mean, it'll drive you to a different level, even further than just the incident you just dealt with.
Okay. Yeah. When the public isn't even respecting
exactly.
what you're doing.
It's, mm-hmm. That's tough. And so sometimes mm-hmm. it just takes another law enforcement officer that is rooted and grounded in God's word
mm-hmm.
and is a believer himself or herself to understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps out tremendously. My lieutenant now is developing a kind of a healthy way of dealing with different incidents and especially very serious incidents,
mm-hmm.
very big incidents. And it's kind of like a deconfliction type deal that we're starting to do. And we did it on one scene where it was very hard, where a gentleman was, he was not only mentally ill, but he was off his meds and just a bad deal where he basically killed his daughter and just stabbed her to death. And it was mm-hmm. a very tough scene for all of us. And none of us wanted to really deal with that. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, no, we're okay. Because of what we're used to doing. No, we're okay. Mm-hmm. We're all right. But she forced us to sit down and
mm-hmm.
just have our, you know, after action meeting where, you know, hey, you don't have to say anything, but you're going to sit down here and we're going to talk. And
mm-hmm.
if you feel like saying something, you do. And I cannot tell you how good that went.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, and I would say this to a lot of listeners, if you do see anyone, even outside of law enforcement, that they're dealing with something, or you see or notice a very big change in their behavior and attitude, mm-hmm. I would not let up. I would press into them, not being obnoxious, mm-hmm. but being very loving.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just never know where that tipping end might be for them. And you see the signs and ignore it.
Hmm.
And she saw some signs. I didn't know it, but she saw some signs in some of our other agents. And hmm. she stepped in and said, you know what? We really need to do this, whether you want to do it or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it helped out tremendously.
Mm-hmm. So you're definitely recommending find another brother or sister in arms, but also a brother and sister in Christ.
That's right.
Who can understand and walk with you and just letting you decompress a little bit.
It does. It's so helpful.
Who is that for you?
Oh gosh, how many do I have? I'm pretty open mm-hmm. for the most part. So hey, I'm kind of an open book. I don't have a whole lot of secrets or anything. As a matter of fact, I don't have any. Not that I know of. But I can kind of talk to anybody. And, but my wife is really good about, she'll notice. She just notices when I'm not being as open. I'm not being as talkative. And she's like, man, something is on your mind. Sometimes I don't know how to even explain it because it's so much and it's so heavy. And I just don't know how to express it. And so she's very patient. But she's going to come back. Oh, my goodness. She may let me go for a second. I'm like, okay, I'll give you some time.
Yeah.
So you figure it out. What's going on? You know?
Yeah.
And that's important. I mean, one of the reasons that I even became as involved in church as I am is because of another elder, Steve McConnell. And I tell this story often, so people have probably already heard it, but he really did press in at a very hurtful and devastating time of my life. And if he hadn't pressed in, I know for sure that I just wouldn't have been the man that I am and the person that I am in Christ. But he did, and he would not leave me alone. He kept calling me. When are we going to get together? When are we going to start this, you know, this group? Because he was starting a discipleship group.
Okay.
And he was like, man, I'm ready, and you know, I would love for you to be a part of it.
Yeah. Come on with me.
That's right. Yeah. And I didn't want to do it because I was down. I was hurting. But he kept pressing. I'm like, man, if this will get this guy off my back, I'll go.
And thanks for doing that, Steve.
Exactly. And it was nothing but God's providence in it. And I'm so glad he did that. So now I'm trying to take some Steve McConnell notes, you know, and press into people where I need to.
Yeah. But you mentioned, John, that you don't understand how people can do or be involved in law enforcement without God.
Oh, it's hard.
Because having God in our lives gives us an eternal perspective. It gives us a hope for the future past what we're dealing with right now.
Absolutely.
Past the depravity of our situation or the scenes that you walk upon.
Right.
How do you see, with that, how do you see the gospel transforming the way that you do your work?
You know, now, just the grace and mercy that I've received, I can give it now. And then also, the justice of God means something totally different to me now than it did prior. But it's righteous justice that only he can give. The only real justice that we're going to give or we're going to receive is from him. So the justice that I'm attempting to extend, it's still going to be limited. It's still not going to be complete, because it can be very disheartening when you work very hard on a case or you make what you think is a very good arrest and you've gotten a very bad person off the street and they're let go. They're found not guilty or on some technicality. It's disheartening. And if you don't see God's overall plan in this, and that you're not the sole arbiter of justice, that there is the God of justice that is above you, and that he will see to it that justice is brought forth and that his justice was ultimately satisfied in Jesus Christ. If you don't see those things, it's very hard to deal with that. I mean, it is, I don't know of anything that I see more police officers getting out of law enforcement for outside of that and just like personal reasons. But it's so disheartening. You're going back and forth to court and people that you know are guilty are being let go and being let go. And it's hard.
That would be hard.
That's tough.
Well, we really appreciate what you do. And knowing that you do that as a believer in Christ and the heart that you bring to your work is so encouraging, to know that there are men out there like you in law enforcement. I mean, I think us, that's such an encouragement to hear. So how can we be praying for you? How can we support you?
You know, not just me, but for all law enforcement, I think that when things are good with God and good at home, that carries over so much. You can deal with a whole lot when things are good with God, when you're good with God, when you're in right standing with God, and when your family is intact, mm-hmm. you can stand up against the world. Mm-hmm. And so if you would just pray for the salvation and the turning of hearts of law enforcement, mm-hmm. and pray for the strengthening of our families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tremendous.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And John, we do encourage any law enforcement here at Fellowship that's involved in law enforcement. If they need to talk to somebody, they can reach out to you.
Absolutely. I'm here.
Just as an elder, your contact information is on our church website. Right. So they can reach out to you and connect with you. You'd love to talk with them.
Oh, my goodness. That would be wonderful. I mean, I see that as such a privilege.
Yeah. Last question for you, John. If I'm flying down I-30 and a state trooper lights come on.
Right.
Can I use your name?
Oh, John Blackman.
Is there grace or is there justice there?
Oh my gosh, you might have to eat that one, man. No, just kidding. I don't know if it'll work. They may give you two. They're like, oh, John Blackman, really? Here's another one for you. You know,
I got a story for you, John. My dad was a state highway patrolman in Ohio.
Really?
When I was growing up, and he served 36 years or something like that with state highway patrol in Ohio. And there was one time where I was a couple hours away at college, and I went down an icy road. And my truck spun off on some black ice, and I went off the road into a tree, and I was fine. My truck I was driving was mostly fine.
Right.
But the patrolman who showed up, somehow it came out that my dad was with the patrol. And so he said, can I call him? And I was so nervous. I was like, if you have to.
Right.
And my dad answered the phone. He talked to the patrol officer, and he said, do whatever you think is right, sir.
Right.
And I was like, Dad, come on, man.
Speaking of getting two tickets, my mom's favorite story on me when I was little was when she got pulled over one time and the officer's giving her a ticket and I'm nonstop going, I want one. Can I have one? Can I please have one? I want one of those. What are you getting? I want one.
No, you don't want one of these, baby. I promise you don't want one of these.
Oh man. Well, we understand and we thank you for your grace when it's needed, but we also know that justice is needed sometimes.
Absolutely.
Too. Thank you for serving and protecting
and
us.
And I do. I hope I didn't come off too hard, because I'm telling you, I have so many opportunities to show grace, and I'm very grateful for the discretion that we have as law enforcement. I mean, that's being attacked now, the discretion we have, but I'm telling you, it really does benefit a lot more than it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to give that grace where we see that it's really, really needed. I mean, if that discretion was taken away and having to, in particular, pulling over a lady with three kids in the back seat, and I found out she had, a suspended license, and it was for a no proof of insurance that she couldn't afford, and so she wasn't able to pay the ticket, and so her license got suspended. Mm-hmm. She got these three kids in the back that she's taken to the daycare. She had on a smock to whatever restaurant she worked at, and y'all, she just broke down.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I cannot do this. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm.
And so I was able to show her some grace and call somebody to come get the car, a licensed driver. And I took her to work and we prayed and I talked to her. And it was more of a blessing for me than it was for her. I know she thought that, man, I can't believe God blessed me. Like, I'm thinking, I can't believe that God, he was here with me to show me how to handle this. And I pointed her to him. And that was the blessing for me.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful story. So, and just
knowing
that you get to step into opportunities like that with people that are really hurting.
Exactly. And so I just don't know what I would have done if I had to get her a ticket and then tow her car. And I mean, it's just a deeper hole that she's going into. And she was just trying to get to work.
Yeah.
That's all. Mm-hmm. You know, just going to drop the kids off to daycare and go to work. And I just don't know. But I'm very grateful. Very grateful to God that I've had a lot of opportunities to do that. And not because of anything that's in me, but, man, just because of the grace of God that's working in my heart, that he's working through me by his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very grateful for that.
Well, I thank you for sharing that story. John, thanks for being here to be on the podcast with us
today. Appreciate it. Thank you for
serving the state of Arkansas. so well, showing grace and justice in the mix of that. And we really appreciate you being a part of Fellowship, leading our church, and then and serving and protecting Arkansas too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much
for
having me. I appreciate it.
Amy, this is just such a good opportunity to dip into practically work as worship, as we bring our jobs, our daily jobs, to God as an opportunity to worship before Him. Just really enjoyed hearing from John and his experiences in law enforcement and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, you know, while not everyone's jobs maybe have that extreme of situations, mm-hmm. we all have those opportunities to engage with people who are
hurting and
need to have the grace and love of Jesus brought before them and shared with them.
That's right. Well, Fellowship, if you're listening to this episode the day that it came out, you have 2 weeks until Christmas, all right? Go get your last-minute Christmas shopping done. But while you're doing that, when you're stuck in traffic, stuck in line at the store, pull your voice memo app out and record some of your Christmas memories. Send them to us here at Fellowship Talks. We'd love to hear from you. We want to get that that episode put together and share with our whole Fellowship body just our favorite Christmas memories as a church. So Fellowship, would you help us with that and send those to us? And we would really enjoy that. So Amy, until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.